This is so exciting. I've never done this before, and I just wanted to share some of my testimony and a story, and I'm sure you guys all know the scripture. I don't really know what I'm going to say. I've thought about it, and it's just a story, so I figure I'd just wing it. And I guess that I would be the last person you'd think that would ever come to the truth. My wife and had been in the church when I met her, and she and everybody had prayed for me for years, 10 years at least, and I rebelled against it all the way. I heard tell me scripture all the time, and it just didn't make sense to me. It'd go round and round in my head. I couldn't grasp it. There was too many contradictions. It didn't set with me. I wasn't raised in a church. I was raised to believe in kind of like New Age beliefs. I had a lot of, my God was at that time was, came to me when I was younger. And I followed it, and I never knew that it was evil. It betrayed itself to me that have power, and it tormented me and scared me. And I was taught that those fears were mine, and they were manifestations of my own mind. So I embraced them, and that I was the creator of that fear. And it was just a downward spiral from there. And every time that I went to believe, I finally, like 3 or 4 years go by, and I believe it was all just in my head. It would come back and prove to me that it was not in my head. Well, I followed it, and it would tell me things, but there was something it wouldn't tell me. And I wanted to know it all. I wanted to know more. I wasn't happy with it. I seen the end of my life. I seen generations going by. And I'll try to speed this up. I know I don't have a whole lot of time. Well, it was basically just moving into insanity. And it just went around and around and around in my mind. And they were... And I want to share something that happened to me, coming to the truth, that I was willing to give up my life to know what this was, the one thing that I could not know, that they would not tell me. And I pretty much had to come towards death to understand it. And through my foolishness, I was taking an antibiotic, penicillin, and I was having an allergic reaction to it, and I didn't know it. And I continued to take all of it, and I can only take half a pill at a time. And I was taking ibuprofen to mask my allergic reaction. And I told the dentist, because I thought it was an infection going into my head. I told him I can't hardly take this, so he gave me, after I finished that, he gave me amoxicillin, which is in the same family. I got halfway through that, and I ended up taking Vicodins because I couldn't hardly take it. I didn't know what was going on with me, and I was masking the allergic reaction to the penicillin. And then I woke up one day, and I could feel my brain, and it was tingling, and all my body was freezing cold, and I couldn't hang on anymore. And I went to the doctors, had my system all flushed out, and I felt better. And they said I was allergic to penicillin. I've been taking it for months. Well, I got home, and the next day, it was fine. And then I think that my body was so saturated with the penicillin, I had a detox from it. And I started going into shock every 3 hours, and I had to take Benadryl. I was taking Benadryl every 3.5. It said 4 to 6 hours. Every 3 hours, I wanted to take it because I started going in shock. I couldn't hang on. I couldn't have a single thought. I couldn't think about anything. All I could think of was just breathe and hang on. And I was going in and out of the shower all day long. And during these, and for 2 weeks, I've endured this, and I withdrew from the Vicodin while during this process, and my armpits were burning, and I just kept getting in the shower, and the water in the shower was the only thing that made me feel better. And after 2 weeks, I was in the shower, and I couldn't take it no more. I couldn't think. I couldn't have a single thought except to breathe, and I just couldn't do it. And I was laying in the shower, and I just gave up. And as soon as I just let go, this light came up around me. And in an instant of this light and this presence, I tried to explain everything that was revealed to me and what happened to me. And I hid my face like it was for my life. I laid on my face and I hid my face and I was like in tears, please give me another chance. Because I knew there was no argument, there with no debate about anything. Everything was revealed to me in that instant of this light. I know this is just a story, but hang on with me here. And I was standing up on like this pedestal, but I was laying on my face. And I was shown everything that I had done in my life, I did all on my own. Like nobody else in the world existed. And I was seen like I was naked standing there without anything to debate about this, about my actions, my behavior. And it was because I was given a free mind to think any way that I want. Doesn't matter what somebody did to me and how justified I was by people in my life for what my actions were. Because those people did not exist in this light, and I was shown that you chose to look at it like that. You chose to see it like this, and this is what you chose to do. It was all your own creation. Let's see what you've done. And I hid, and I cried, and I begged, and I pleaded, please give me another chance. I will make a difference. I will remember what it means to be in front of this light. And that's all it was. It revealed to me. It didn't tell me anything what I was supposed to do. It just revealed the state of what I wanted to know. That I was responsible, no matter if somebody, and I understand the scripture where it says, if somebody smacks you, you know, smite you on one cheek, that you offer them the other. Because we will be seen for what we've done as our own creation. If somebody does harm to me, I know what it means to love that person. And one of the things is that I found that I have in common with everybody is that we're all in a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And like the scripture says, we either follow the flesh or we follow the spirit. And when I came back to life, laying in the shower, I felt this, like, there's this feeling of there's so many people that go before this. I couldn't believe that I actually had life left in me. I was so close to, I knew that if I looked up, I was gone. So I was able to have one thought for the next 2.5 weeks after that, and that was to remember what it was in front of that light. And I was in and out of the shower, and I was breathing, and just holding on, and I just remembered that light. I just remembered that light, and I remembered my promise. And I knew that I would keep that promise. I didn't know what it meant. I just knew, just remembered the light. And my wife, one day, she starts reading the scripture to me like she always does. And I knew what it, I understood it for the first time in my life. And what she was, when she was explaining it to me and giving me the scripture, I just broke down crying. It reminded me of the presence of the light that I was in front of, and it was the same thing in those words. And I knew then that I had to go to the Sabbath. That's what I promised. I would follow the light, and I got to go to the Sabbath. And I had to tuck my tail, you know, so to say. And I cried because my ego was so damaged, felt so, because I fought against everything that they believed in. I'd burned Bibles. I'd cursed. I challenged, I did everything that I could. I fought against it. I was purely not somebody that anybody would ever think would come to the truth. But now, when I got the answer, was that I'm accountable for what I do. And I've had lots of lessons and things to go through. And that's when I came to the feast 2 years ago here. And I couldn't hardly talk. When I go to talk and say something, even in my own house, I was choked. If I go to say something that was revealing to those spirits that I was a part of, that are evil, that are all around us, I would be physically choked, like I couldn't even say it. And the only way that I would be unchoked was move on to something else. Don't say this. And I went through a lot of different things like that where they did not want me to help anybody. So after I came to the feast here, they anointed me with oil. I went back home and went through a lot of persecution. I went to a job where I had a good job, and I wasn't sure about not keeping the Sabbath day because we worked 7 days a week for a short period of time. And then what am I thinking? Of course I know what this is all about. I gotta keep the Sabbath day, that's what I'm gonna do. But it was just really hard at first. So I kept, I went through a lot of persecution. I ended up losing my job early. They kind of did it nonchalantly where they put me on a job that was ending right away and moved me out the door. And I was kind of on the in click with the people who worked there all year long. So it was like a real big, you know, kick in the face kind of thing. But I was like, you know, I trust, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I know what the right thing is. And then I was going to go to North Carolina. Got all the sites for churches and stuff where I was going to go and printed them out, where I'm going to go and where I'm going to stay. And then I had some dreams, and people, everybody was praying for me, and I ended up, and it looked like I was going to go to, I was like, okay, I'll go to Las Vegas. I've been a residential carpenter for 13 years, and I'm going to go do commercial, which I've never done any of it, but I did take classes with it, so. So we took the last bit of our money, $1,500, and me and my wife drove off to Las Vegas, trusting in Yah, praying, and we went there, and it was in 1988, all rusted out Ford Escort. Barely made it. Got to the mountains. We're going like 15 miles an hour, and it was scary. And I was, and, you know, we got to Las Vegas and we drove through the desert all day, and then we got to this bowl, this big city with the smog and this cloud. And I'm not into that scene or cities and all that. And I'm just like, after all that journey, I'm like, this is where I came to. This is all. I was just devastated. It was like, I don't want to be here. And drove around. I got off for. And I think we were there, my wife was there with me for 2 weeks, and she planned on flying back home, and I was going to stay. And I couldn't hardly stand it there. It was 115 degrees in the day, and at night it was 109. We didn't have AC in the car, and we're driving around looking for, figure out how everything works. I've never done this kind of work before. I'm just kind of trusting in the Father. I had a class with this. I need to have confidence. I see people fake it all the time in life. I'm going to have faith in it, though. I'm not going to fake it. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. He'll take care of me. So there was a lot of people there looking for work all over. There was a lot of jobs, but just as many people were looking for work. And it was scary when I got there. I was like, what am I doing here? My wife said we can go home anytime. Nobody's expecting you to, you know, no expectations, it's good. And I was all worried about myself the whole time. Oh, myself, what am I going to work, what am I going to do, whatever. And I'm going around and I'm praying and I'm looking, trying to figure everything out, and it was complicated. And then one night, it kind of, Rachel's getting ready to leave, and we got one more day to be together, and I still don't have a job, and I wanted everything to be all secure and safe. And I just realized, I got baptized before I came here. I have the Spirit. I know what the truth is. I'm gonna be fine. What about all these other people? And I was, and then I was like, and we, and I prayed for everybody that I could think of back home. Everybody who prayed for me and was watching for me. I started praying for them and everything that I knew was going on for them and wishing them everything the best. And my enemies and the people who persecuted me back home. And it wasn't easy because I, you know, in my flesh, I felt real resentful. But am I going to follow the flesh, or am I going to follow the spirit? And that, and I fell asleep praying for everybody, and Yah gave me a message, because I think he was letting me know that I was on the right track at that moment, what I did. And I was dreaming that he was coming to me and bringing me increase. And I was in this room, and it was getting brighter and brighter, and I felt in my dream, I felt like I was going to pass out. And I was waking up in my dream, but I was still dreaming. And I was just like, whoa, and I couldn't handle it. And I was just like, I got to get out of this room. He's coming to bring me increase. I'm going to fall over. And I go to the door, and I go to go out the door, and I can't open the thing because I'm going to fall right over. I'm going to pass out. And just as I do, my phone rings. And it wasn't even it was mother-in-law's phone, cell phone. It rings. I go pick it up, and it's a guy telling me I got a job, and this is when I start, and I want you to do this. And I was like, okay, and I wrote it all down or whatever. And so I start the job right after not tomorrow. I have one more day to spend a lovely day with my wife. And then the next morning I drop her off at the airport, and I go right over to my job. And I knew that it was just a blessing, and he was letting me know that after all that, you know, worrying about myself for 2 weeks, and I'm out there on faith, and I trust in him, you know, I know that even with the evil things that come my way, that every day, every morning, that I give up my flesh to the Father, for him to be a vessel for his spirit. And I know that anything that, any evil thing or whatever it might be, is from him. That they have to go through the Father because I am his. So that it's okay when these terrible things happen, or what it might be, because it was allowed by my Father, which I know that is the, you know, giver of life. Everything that I have is because of him. I told this story. I went out on one more quick thing, if I can be quick and brief. I told this story about last feast. I didn't come here because I had the dream and a vision of the last great day, and what I would see on this beach with these cliffs and this glorious light, and I wanted to follow that. And I felt I was in the place close to the coast, and I thought that was where it was going to be. And I traveled all up and down that coast, and because in Las Vegas, I just ran into nobody wants to hear. I got the truth. Nobody wants to hear it. You know how that is. You can't, just like me, I could not hear it until I was at a point where I was ready and my mind was open to hear instruction, and I was ready for it. We traveled all up and down the coast, and I was looking for the place where I was supposed to be. We ran into feast goers from Philadelphia, which we weren't invited to. Other Christians who were lovely, beautiful people, but when it came to the points of what was important to me was the law, he thought, you know, nobody goes for that. But I'll tell you that I know that I have faith in the Father, and I have to keep his laws or else I'm lost. That gives me faith to know that I believe in him, but that's just not enough. I have to try to follow his laws. I have to do that. I can't just do whatever I want. And I see the big difference. And well, if I can just say real quick to sum it all up, on the last great day, I was at a place, and I know that talking about the law is a moot point with a lot of people. We'd spent the day with a police officer and his wonderful family of 2 or 3 kids and a dog and wife and so to say police officer, and And at the last great day, the sunset went down, I'm sitting in front of the fire, and I'm waiting for the, where's this light that I was expected to see? Where's this glory? Just kind of beside myself, and my wife and kids wanted me to go over and sit with our camp neighbors 30 feet away from us to just come out, and you know, the kids wanted to hang out, and we went over there, and I talked with them for a little while, and he was going, I didn't talk anything about the scripture, the Bible. I was like, God's done. Nobody wants to hear it anyway. So we're talking, he's homeschools and he goes to church and all this stuff or whatever, and I was like, you know, I'll try something different. I told him my story of what happened to me when I died and I went in front of the light. I was like, you might hear, understand that. So, and how I was accountable for everything I did, like nobody else existed. And this could have been me showing my pearls before swine, but this was the last great day, and I expected something glorious here. And I didn't know what else to do or how to help people, and I want to help people. Well, he stopped talking once I told him my story. He put his hands in his pocket, and I talked more and more and more and more and more. And something was strange. I didn't know what it was. And so then I started telling him how beautiful his family is, and he's so lucky and all this. And finally he tells me, I got to go to the bathroom. You want to go with me? And my wife had just come back from the bathroom with his wife. So I go to the bathroom, and we go in there, and you know, this is right on the beach campsite, and it's just a little camp bathroom. And I go in there, and he's like, gotta wash your hands. And I'm thinking, I'm just like a little kid, little child. I go over there, and I'm like, no. Or he's like, you gotta go to the bathroom? I'm like, no, I'll just wash my hands. I go over there, and I do the soap, and I'm thinking about all these little things like when I was a child, innocent and pure. And we come back out, and we go to the car. And then he finally talks to me after about 45 minutes. And he pulls his gun out, and he puts it on the hood of the car. And he says, you don't know how lucky you are. He said, I just couldn't do it the way you're standing there in front of the sink. I don't know what's wrong with you. And he starts telling me, and he puts the gun in between us on the hood of the car. And when he did that, I just kind of backed up, and I put my head down, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I don't mean anything wrong. And he started to curse me out for how I get off telling him about what happened to me and everything. And he was furious, spitting. And he got to a point where he's telling me how angry he was at me. He was furiated, and he's spitting, and he come right up to me, and I thought he was going to beat me. And I just put my head down, and at that moment, I identified with our Savior, what it meant for him to go through for no reason, just for having the Spirit. What comes out, you know, what is in opposition of that Spirit. And he told me, don't say anything to anyone. Because when I get up in the morning and I look in your wife's eyes, I'll know if you told her. And you know why I saved you? This is what he said. He said, because of your kids. He said, there's something special about your kids. I watched them play with mine all day. And he said, you better think about that right now and go get your family and go home. And I went back to got my kids, and he followed right behind me. And I went back to my tent, took the kids, and I'm all shaking up. The kids get in. They're like, all excited. Oh, Arsuka. And I grabbed the Bible, and I'm like, I opened it up. I was like, I know right here is where I need to read. And it was the very beginning of Proverbs, very beginning of it. And I read it for 4 pages, and everybody's sleeping. And I got up out of the tent, and I was afraid to say anything because the tent, they were right next to me. The wind was blowing and howling outside, and it just came up when the sun went down too. And I went outside, and I went to pack everything up, and there was so much stuff on the picnic table, and I was terrified. I called people. Is it okay if I run? Is it okay if I leave? Yes. And you know, the Messiah and the disciples ran and fled for their life at times too. And I was like, good, because I'm gonna do that. I think that's what I'm gonna do. We go back, and I go to pack everything up, and I couldn't do it, and the Spirit wanted me to stay. And I wanted to run. I wanted to run for my life and live, and I'm looking around, and I'm just like brought to my knees, and I'm like, I run and I live to win. A victory. eventually I'm going to die. And anywhere I go in this world, I'm going to be faced with this. This is all over in this world, the spirit that's in him. And then I realized why to pray for this man. And I got down on my knees and I prayed for that guy that wanted to kill me because of the spirit. And I prayed for him. I prayed for him like it was my life, because he was losing the battle of the flesh and the spirit. And that's what I have in common with everyone. And I think that that's what the Messiah wanted me to know that night. And the spirit didn't want me to run, and every time I went to go to run, it's like, where's this great faith in the creator of the world and everything that's here, and you're going to run for your life? And the spirit wouldn't let me run. And I went out on the beach and I cried, and it was hard. It was so hard. And I was like, Father, if this is how you want me to go, I trust you. I know I'm going to die someday, but I want to put my hands in. My fear was with my family, take care of my family and my kids. And I love them so much. And there was a whole lot that happened, even from the dreams when I finally did fall asleep. And I woke up. I want to get into everything. This is supposed to be a short story, right? I woke up and there was already police across the campsite. That guy was packed up, just about to leave. I didn't see his wife, I didn't see his kids, I didn't see his dog. He left, and the police arrested somebody across the campsite from me. Had the guns on him and everything. Helicopters were circling over the beach. And that was, and then I told my wife, when I finally we left and I told her, she was pissed. She wanted to go tell the police. And I was like, well, he was a police officer. He wanted to go into the special ops or something like that. Black ops. And I felt I was up against somebody who probably gets rewarded for doing things like that, can get away with anything. I told a couple other people about the story, and they said the first thing they would have done was grab that gun. They would have grabbed it right off the hood. I went back and I told my wife, I was like, everybody says they would have grabbed the gun, you know, and they would have done this. All manly. My wife says, well, his wife said that he always carries two guns on him. And I didn't know that. So he really didn't, he didn't have the heart to I guess, kill an innocent child. He wanted to try to provoke me to grab a gun. He could shoot me with his other gun. You know, he was a police officer going into black ops. Who knows? I don't know what that's all about. But maybe I still believe that I did the right thing, that I got a message to somebody that probably would have never heard it, anything. And I believe that I affected him in a way that he affected me, that both of us will never be the same from it. My faith has been increased. I know the goal here is not to have riches and have everything great. And sometimes when we follow with our faith, it's not always what we think it's going to be. And that's the hard thing, that we're being tried through fire to give up our flesh. And I think in the end that when we all give up our flesh, we're going to understand. We have to go through that process to really to be purified the way that we're going to be. I don't know how I could live in this world without you beautiful people here. What I see out here in this world is appalling to me, and I could never make it. And you guys are the reason why. I hope that my story is just with something that can maybe stick with you about faith when you go through a hard time or something. You know, I know I have hard times ahead of me. We all do. But thank you.